The GI Research Foundation was able to produce this podcast with a generous sponsorship from Metro Infusion Centers.
As we age, we all lose muscle mass, a process known as sarcopenia. In people living with IBD, this muscle loss can be more pronounced and may even interfere with treatment outcomes. What if we could accurately and non-invasively measure and monitor sarcopenia in patients with IBD? Doing so could be transformational for care and long-term health. In this episode, we explore whether an existing technology, intestinal ultrasound funded by the GI Research Foundation, could be part of the answer. Learn more in this episode.
Welcome to Visceral, the podcast of the GI Research Foundation. I'm your host, Anna Gomberg. I'm thrilled today to welcome Assistant Professor at the University of Chicago Medicine IBD Center, Tenzin Choden. Dr. Choden is spearheading really important work in the field of inflammatory bowel disease and also an area we don't always talk about with inflammatory bowel disease, aging. And Dr. Choden received a grant from the GI Research Foundation to establish research programs and facilities to investigate the needs of this aging population, which we all know is growing all the time with our boomer parents and grandparents and others in our population. And those people also have Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis and need special care. So welcome, Dr. Choden. I am so excited to hear and learn from you today.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Oh, we're so excited. I wanted to make sure that I asked you about your other study that you're working on right now. I'm sure you have many irons in the fire, but I know you are also working on a study that makes use of a monitoring technique we've talked about a lot on the podcast called intestinal ultrasound. And you are looking at something called sarcopenia, which is very important in an aging population. Can you tell us a little about sarcopenia?
Sure. So sarcopenia refers to a loss of skeletal muscle mass and strength. So it's common as people age, but in IBD, it can be accelerated by chronic inflammation or poor nutrition and steroid use for a long period of time. In older patients, sarcopenia is very strongly linked to frailty or higher risk of infections, longer hospital stays, and worse surgical outcomes. So it's not just a body composition metric. It's a signal that someone may have less physiologic reserve. So traditionally, measuring sarcopenia, which is, again, measuring a loss of skeletal muscle mass and strength, can be a little bit of a complicated thing to do during a clinic visit. It would take increased amount of time. And the gold standard, really, for evaluation of sarcopenia is actually a fairly high level analysis of looking at a CT scan and looking at the exact amount of skeletal muscle there exists. And so obviously this is not something that we would be able to do at any clinic visit. So in our study, you know, we're looking to see if ultrasound can be a modality for us to be able to evaluate sarcopenia as a point of care exam during a clinic visit.
Can you see and measure muscle mass and composition during an intestinal ultrasound?
So that's the question. So right now with intestinal ultrasound, really the purpose is to monitor bowel inflammation.
Sure.
But at the same time that you have the probe with you, it's fairly simple to take a look at a few muscle groups that might exist in the abdominal cavity. And so the one that I'm targeting in my study is specifically the rectus abdominis, which is essentially your ab muscles. And the study is based around just a simple measurement of the rectus abdominis right next to your belly button at the time that we're already doing an intestinal ultrasound. And these are patients that have already had a CT scan done in the past couple of months for whatever reason that they have this. And so we have the gold standard that we can get from the CT scan. And really what I'm doing is comparing the rectus abdominis depth as measured with an ultrasound probe and seeing if that can correlate with that gold standard. And if it does, then we might have a very easy tool for us to be able to use at bedside while we're already doing an intestinal ultrasound to also be able to measure whether or not a patient might be sarcopenic and therefore at higher risk for unfavorable outcomes, and somebody that we might need to pay a little bit more attention to with regard to prehabilitation.
Are IBD patients separate and distinct from other adults that have sarcopenia, other older adults or other people who have sarcopenia? Do they have, what are those risks that you mentioned?
Right. So I do think that IBD patients are unique in terms of the level of chronic inflammation that sometimes inflammatory bowel disease can put on the body, and that can contribute to ongoing sarcopenia that is separate from just pure age-related sarcopenia that does happen to all of us, unfortunately, after the 30s, our age 30. So there is something that's unique to just IBD within this sense. Sarcopenia in general has had a lot, there have been a lot of studies that have been done on sarcopenia and looking at outcomes in many different disease conditions. Cancer is one big one. Even in cardiology and closest to us in gastroenterology, in liver and pre-liver liver transplant, sarcopenia has been well studied, as well as frailty. And there has With this research, they've been able to come out with frailty indices that really can give us a sense of how frail, how sarcopenic a patient might be, and how that might relate to their liver transplant outcomes. So this type of data does not yet exist within the IBD space.
Wow.
And, you know, part of the reason that I'm doing the study using a simple ultrasound measurement is that things will not get measured in a clinic visit if they're difficult. So
sure.
While we have a gold standard, it's not something that is truly practical or feasible for us to use on a regular basis. So the goal here is to find something that is practical, is really a clinic-ready tool for us to use.
Do you also have, and I know that like this, this is a really kind of a specific question. Are there, this population would be in the United States on Medicare or Medicaid. Are there cost concerns with figuring out ways to maybe avoid some of those extra MRIs, or is it more efficient in other ways?
So yes and no. We never actually really look at sarcopenia. We never really get a CT scan to look for sarcopenia. We generally get a CT scan, and the CT scan gold standard way of measuring for sarcopenia is really more so a research-oriented tool. And so there's not really a true clinical tool that is standard within GI at this point that is just for sarcopenia assessment. Usually doctors do the eyeball test, which is you look at a patient and you decide, you know, whether somebody is sarcopenic or not. Interestingly, there's been the rise of a phenomenon called sarcopenic obesity, which is that perhaps the person that you're looking at in front of you might not look sarcopenic to you or look like they have decreased muscle mass. But really, when we truly look at their muscle mass on a CT scan or their muscle strength, as often can be measured with a grip strength device, we're looking at somebody who's actually quite sarcopenic and quite frail. So the eyeball test really might not be the best test.
Wow, that's really interesting. You've used the term frailty and you've used the term sarcopenia. Could you say just a little bit about how those are related? Because I'm not 100% sure if they're exactly the same or a little bit different.
Yes. So they're different. So sarcopenia specifically refers to the loss of skeletal muscle mass and strength, and therefore strength. Frailty is more of a geriatric syndrome, which really is linked to decreased physiologic reserve. So a person who is frail is not likely able to withstand stressors, such as, for example, an infection or an IBD flare. So it's a little bit more of a global assessment. And typically, it takes into account, of course, things like sarcopenia, which is the muscle loss, but also things like grip strength, what we talk about, a sit and stand test in clinic. So kind of more of a functional characterization as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so, so much for taking the time to talk to us today. I am delighted and I can't wait to have you back to hear where this research is next year and the year after, and to just follow your really promising career here in GI. So we're very grateful. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me again.
It was our pleasure.
The patient is at the center of our mission. In 10 Challenges of IBD, our two-part episode released in October and November featuring Dr. David Rubin, the GI Research Foundation Senior Scientific Advisor, we asked patients to share their most successful strategies for communicating with their healthcare providers. Here's what we learned. Danielle shared her experience with us. I've had Crohn's disease since I was 21 and have undergone 10 surgeries to manage my disease. I now live with an ileostomy. My care team is diverse and well-coordinated, including my primary gastroenterologist, my surgeon, and their nurses. They're incredible listeners during my appointments, and that makes all the difference. I truly feel like we are partners in my treatment. I know their time is limited, so I plan what I want to share and ask in advance. Still, they always give me space to tell my story and talk about my symptoms and concerns without rushing me. I honestly don't know where I would be without them. I am eternally grateful.
Today's episode is made possible by Metro Infusion Centers. Metro Infusion Centers, with over 220 infusion centers nationwide, providing trusted and life-saving therapies to patients for over 30 years in a comfortable and cost-effective environment. Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast Visceral from the GI Research Foundation. This episode was written, edited, and produced by me, Anna Gomberg, and edited and mixed by Luke Pahalski. Special thanks to the talented Michael Collins Dowden, who composed our theme music, and executive producer Allison Thielen. We hope you will join us next time, and until then, to access other podcasts and learn more about research to treat, prevent, and cure digestive diseases, please visit the website at giresearchfoundation.org. Please like and subscribe to Visceral on all your favorite podcast platforms, and until next time, listen to your gut.